What is the most valuable thing in the world? It is whatever part of it that you look upon with love in your heart. The value lies in the sight of connection, the sight of innocence, within the mind of the seer, and thus all minds. When we desire to wake up into God, our sight becomes healed, and we see the past, and we see past the form of our world and behold beauty and the Christ in everyone, because we see it in our own mind, just as that beautiful song was singing about. We see the beauty of God within and within you, and it's the same in both places. And that is what connects us. And the most important lesson is when we transfer and extend that love without any judgment, without any interference, we open the door to that connection within ourselves and within all others. So welcome everybody to the Sunday morning gathering. And hello to everybody out in the workshop conference out this weekend. It's the last of the three that we're offering here. This is the Bentino retreat this weekend. So hello to everybody there who may be listening. And I've heard great things. It was just an amazing series of retreats out there. So I look forward to hearing back the stories and reports and insights and sharing that everyone has gained from their experiences out there. It sounds amazing and wonderful what's unfolding and the connection that's happening there. So let's just take a few minutes and say hi as if we would be gathering for a service and greet one another. And Lynn will play a little music here. I'll turn it back over to her. And just maybe just share a little bit about yourself in the room and a thought or just a greeting. And we can just sort of spend this time in connection for a little while. And then we'll start forward with the gathering. All right, turning it back to you, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thanks, Lynn, and good morning, everybody. It's great to see our wonderful Awakening Together family here gathered together in common purpose. And I want to read our statement of purpose here as Awakening Together. We are an assembly joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We see one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to speak today about the first core value and read it and bring that to everyone's attention. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening. Which is the realization of the one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. And that's so key, because the true experience of knowing God, of waking up to truth, to living that truth, that love, that practice of truth, is truly individual for each of us. And there's no way that all of us in the world are ever going to have the exact same belief systems. In fact, a lot of what I've learned awakening has to do with is the giving up of beliefs in general. Because the knowledge of truth has nothing to do with the belief in truth. The knowledge of God has nothing to do with the belief in God. The belief may lead to the knowledge of God. But that's one of the things I'm going to speak about and is touched upon in the Vision of Christ, which is Section 6, Chapter 12 of A Course in Miracles. So let me go over some announcements real quick. This morning we have Lynn Johnson as our reader. She'll be reading that section of A Course in Miracles. And what I do when I prepare for these gatherings is I always pray and ask Spirit to guide and open a spiritual book, a holy book, that can lead me to what it is that is in the highest interest of everyone and our greatest good to hear, my own and all of us, and just open it up. So I was drawn to the Course in Miracles this week, and I opened it to this section. And I trusted all is perfect, because it is. It seems like whatever Spirit has us guided to look at is exactly what, you know, I need to hear. So let's go on with the announcements real quick here. As everybody knows, the conference is ongoing this weekend, the final of three conferences. This is Weekend of Becoming with Bentino Massaro out there. And another announcement is a class coming up called Introduction to Sufi Thought. Now, this is an MPP course, and there's a section available on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 9, which I'll be facilitating, and also on Wednesday mornings. This is going to be on the November 18th, and this is from 10 to noon Eastern Time, and Regina Dawn Akers will be facilitating that section of the course. And if anyone's ever been drawn to the teachings of Rumi and Hafiz, or the Sufis, and their mystical experience of opening the heart and surrender, this is a great course to explore. You don't have to be a member of the MPP course or a student of the MPP course to pursue your ministerial certification at all. There's actually seats available, a few seats available, that if you're just interested in the course and you're interested in exploring this and it sparks something in you, register, check it out. We have actually on our website under classes, menu, Introduction to Sufi Thought. So give it a check out. Alright, so let's move on with our opening song. I'm going to turn it back over to Lynn and see what she has for us this morning with our opening song. Take it away, Lynn.
Yeah.
Awesome. The sun has returned. All right, let's move to our invocation prayer. And let's just take a moment and go within. I'd like to lead us in a prayer as we enter this gathering and this service together. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the presence in which I live. I see that every part of myself is within God, as all are within God. I know that my heart will be released in spirit through grace, unless I want to block love and thus imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release in my heart and in the sight of all, because I recognize that we will only be released together, united as one. In this spirit, I choose to see my being within your embrace, connected to all. I affirm there is no separation between God and me and in all whom I see. In this sight, I know I am healed. Amen. And so let's start with our reading. This is by our very own beloved and dear Lynn Johnson, the amazing and wonderful guide of our sanctuary here. And I believe we have chapter 12 in store that the Spirit helped guide me to select. Section 6, The Vision of Christ. So, turning it over to you, Lynn.
Thank you, Jay, and that was a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much. What a lovely invocation, and how that opened up my heart to be in the sacred moment. Thank you so much for that. So, The Vision of Christ, Chapter 12, Section 6, Paragraph 1. The ego is trying to teach you how to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. The Holy Spirit teaches that you cannot lose your soul, and there is no gain in the world, for of itself it profits nothing. To invest without profit is surely to impoverish yourself, and the overhead is high. Not only is there no profit in the world's reality, in the investment, but the cost to you is enormous. For this investment costs you the world's reality by denying yours and gives you nothing in return. You cannot sell your soul, but you can sell your awareness of it. You cannot perceive your soul, but you will not know it while you perceive something else as more valuable. The Holy Spirit is your strength because He knows nothing but the Spirit as you. He is perfectly aware that you do not know yourself and perfectly aware of how to teach you to remember what you are. Because He loves you, He will gladly teach you what He loves, for He wills to share it. Remembering you always, He cannot let you forget your worth, for the Father never ceases to remind Him of His Son, and He never ceases to remind His Son of the Father. God is in your memory because of Him. You chose to forget your Father, but you do not really want to do so. And therefore, you can decide otherwise. As it was my decision, so is it yours. Thank you, Jesus. You do not want the world. The only thing of value in it is whatever part of it you look upon with love. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. Its value is not in itself, but yours is in you. As self-value comes from self-extension, so does the perception of self-value come from the extension of loving thoughts outward. Make the world real unto yourself, for the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so it belongs to you. Correction is for all who cannot see. To open the eyes of the blind is the Holy Spirit's mission, for He knows that they have not lost their vision, but merely sleep. He would awaken them from the sleep of forgetting to the remembering of God. Christ's eyes are open, and He will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept His vision as yours. The Holy Spirit keeps the vision of Christ for every son of God who sleeps. In His sight, the Son of God is perfect, and He longs to share His vision with you. He will show you the real world, because God gave you heaven. Through Him, your Father calls His Son to remember. The awakening of His Son begins with His investment in the real world, and by this He will learn to reinvest in Himself. For reality is one with the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit blesses the real world in their name. When you have seen this real world, as you will surely do, you will remember us. Yet you must learn the cost of sleeping and refuse to pay it. Only then will you decide to awaken, and then the real world will spring to your sight, for Christ has never slept. He is waiting to be seen, for He has never lost sight of you. He looks quietly on the real world, which He would share with you because He knows of the Father's love for Him. And knowing this, He would give you what is yours. In perfect peace, He waits for you at His Father's altar, holding out the Father's love to you in the quiet light of the Holy Spirit's blessing. For the Holy Spirit will lead everyone home to His Father, where Christ waits as His Self. Every child of God is one in Christ, for His being is in Christ as Christ is in God. Christ's love for you is His love for His Father, which He knows because He knows His Father's love for Him. When the Holy Spirit has at last led you to Christ at the altar, to His Father, perception fuses into knowledge, because perception has become so holy that its transfer to holiness is merely its natural extension. Love transfers to love without any interference, for the two are one. As you perceive more and more common elements in all situations, the transfer of training under the Holy Spirit's guidance increases and becomes generalized. Gradually, you learn to apply it to everyone and everything, for its applicability is universal. When this has been accomplished, perception and knowledge have become so similar that they share the unification of the laws of God. What is one cannot be perceived as separate, and the denial of the separation is the reinstatement of knowledge. At the altar of God, the holy perception of God's Son becomes so enlightened that the light streams into it, and the Spirit of God's Son shines in the mind of the Father and becomes one with it. Very gently does God shine upon himself. Very gently does God shine upon himself, loving the extension of himself that is his Son. The world has no purpose as it blends into the purpose of God, for the real world has slipped quietly into heaven, where everything eternal in it has always been. There the Redeemer and the redeemed join in perfect love of God and of each other. Heaven is your home, and being in God, it must also be in you. Wow. Amen. I'm giving you back the mic, Jay. Thank you so much for letting me read this amazing section.
Yeah, that was beautiful, Lynn. Thank you for reading that. You know, I was wondering in the Bible also what this relates to, and I was browsing around the internet a little bit, and I did come to 1 Corinthians 15:31. And this is starting at verse 30. Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Jesus Christ our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts in Ephesus, what does it profit me? And see, I think that this section of the vision of Christ is directly related to that same teaching. I think it's a modern day teaching and a much more expanded, clear teaching from that original teaching. And it's talking about if the dead, you know, like, basically, look at what it is that's going on right now with you. You know, this is what our ego is teaching us. Our ego is trying to teach us to get ahead, to gain in some kind of way. And the other option is, of course, to surrender a little bit each day, right? That's the old practice we all heard about. You know, we want to surrender. I die daily. You know, and of course, the ego's teaching is get what you can while you can get it here, and just profit here as much as you can, right? Forget about that spiritual stuff, right? Of course, the people here gathered in the room are of a more dedicated nature, tend to be more involved and focused on spiritual awakening. So, of course, what happens with the ego is isn't all of us becomes a spiritualized ego. So the spirit, the ego just tries to take different tactics, but it's all the same. You know, it's a matter of giving up what we think we need to have in every possible way. Including enlightenment or awakening. If we think we have to have that and we get obsessed and it's becomes an object that we must have, then it's no different than trying to attain anything else in the world. Remember that the greatest thing we receive through God is already there. That's the key message. We can't lose our soul because it's already there. Awakening is but a recognition, right? And to invest in that allowance and that surrender and the undoing, that's the real profit, because that's how I gain. That's how we all gain. Like it says, the overhead is extremely high. When we join and when I let go and I stop trying to gain anything, including trying to get enlightenment or get awakening of any kind, I just surrender it, then it comes, right? Then it comes to me. I invest in the practice. I invest in letting go. I invest in the extension of love. And it's good that we can't actually sell our soul, but we can sell our awareness of it as this teaches us. You know, how do we buy our awareness back? I guess it's by letting go of anything that distracts us, letting go of our seeming concerns or worries. Sometimes I've gotten worried or concerned when my internet connection has suddenly died out. Fortunately, I have let that one go too, so I don't have to be disturbed when that happens. Like if I'm teaching a class and suddenly my whole computer just shuts off. That's always a good one. Yeah, so I just turn it back on again. There we go. You know, it's like the step-by-step process of stopping to see all the illusions we've made real in the world. Everything. You know, if we're surrendering, what do we gain? You know, we have that sense of trust. Everything's happening okay. It's going to work out as it should. Even if the computer shuts off randomly, or in my own situation, my own business is going really good with my computer consulting. And once again, I got this really enticing job offer. And this time I decided to turn it down and stay with what my heart was wanting me to do, which is just sort of stay in my own independent practice so I can have a lot more flexibility and just be more like less in the world in that sense, less tied down to something so involved with my job. And, you know, it's interesting to follow that because I was joking around the other day and I was flipping a coin as to what I should do with my life right now, just kind of as a joke. And the coin flip, best 2 out of 3, did come up with the same option that I was feeling in my heart, which was to stay with my own business. Because it's, I think, a better way for me to just, like, let go of the world and to be able to not get as entrenched in a job and feel like I'm stuck in a job, and that's kind of vibe, you know. So I like that. I think it's going to be a really good thing for me, a good place for just a more like relaxed life, not as stressful. You know, we're reminded in this teaching that this correction of sight that we've all heard and talked about many times is the movement from, you know, seeing that guilt or that sin or that punishment in another person versus the transformation into seeing the purity, seeing the innocence, seeing the connection. You know, knowing God, letting go of the ego, it's just a process of becoming more and more awake. And of course, to the ego, you're becoming more and more insane. You know, someone could say, well, why didn't you take that sure job that was a regular set thing? That's insane. Why did you stay in your own business? That's much more risky. Well, maybe it's not insane. Maybe I don't exactly know why. Maybe I don't need to know why. You know, when I trust the guidance of the Spirit to run my life and use the perspective of that inner knowing and that inner wisdom, what I find is that it always opens my heart more to love. It always opens my heart more to those close to me, to further awakening, to further enlightenment, further awareness. And I don't always know why things happen as they do, as they do. I mean, I'm learning to, like the teaching says here, generalize the practice of that trust more and more into smaller and smaller decisions and just getting it into my overall consciousness more and more and more. You know, all the way to, like, just what am I going to talk about today in the gathering? You know, where is this parking spot? What do I need to do now? Just little things, just getting that guidance, trying to live and see that perspective of the holiness, and getting that perception opened up so that grace can come in and I can have my mind corrected and just let it go. Because I love the part that talks about here when it talks about perception, you know, healing and being so healed that it's transferred to holiness as a natural extension, right? You know, I think Lewis was talking about John of God, and other people talk about, you know, these really inspirational spiritual leaders. Maybe that's because we feel from them that their perception has become so holy that it's an inspiration, that we just feel inspired by listening to them or being around them or talking to them or anything like that. You know, and it's interesting what came to me as I was contemplating that section of the teaching. And I was struck with how similar the description of this in paragraph 6, sentence 4, love transfers to love without any interference, for the two are one. How very similar that is to the description of how electricity moves through the substance of gold. You know, we hear as a phrase, hey, stay golden. That is just a golden awareness. You know, we think of the word gold and golden as something good, something amazing, something pure. There's a book by S.E. Hinton called The Outsiders. Stay golden, pony boy. I don't know if you guys ever read that. But if you study the properties of gold, it's very amazing. I've talked about this before. It is a perfect conductor of electricity. And it's also a perfect insulator from heat. So it's almost like a perfect cocoon of protectiveness. If you were wrapped in a golden blanket, you'd stay perfectly warm inside there. Now, gold, as a perfect conductor of electricity, provides no interference between two points. That's why in computers they use gold for the little miniature, tiny little wires that connect the circuits together. Because it's a perfect conductor. There's no resistance, no interference. From point A, the electricity can transfer to point B with no loss of signal. So if my love extends to you as a brother, as a holy brother, and you receive it completely purely in the same exact intention, that is golden. That is beautifully golden. The love we share is golden. It has suffered no loss of interference between us. None whatsoever. When I hold that vision of Christ, of you, in my mind, and see the perfection, even amidst what the world may judge as your seeming imperfections or my seeming imperfections, and I look past that and I see the love, there's an amazing healing effect that occurs. When I do not see the sin, do not see the error, instead I allow whatever emotions come up within me to be purified, to let them move aside when the irritation comes up. Realize that it's in me that this irritation is occurring. And thoughts never leave their source, so it's all within me. It's for me to allow to be purified out, forgiven, and the sight of the innocence restored, so that love can transfer in a golden manner, like a golden line connecting you and me, without any interference whatsoever. And Nancy says it's a golden opportunity. I love that. So when I transfer with copper wire or with any other metal, there is a loss of signal. So when I let my mind be purified, when I keep that vision of purity in Christ for every son of God, every person, every part of me, if we are all one, we are one son of God, like a giant tree that is sprouted out into a million different leaves. And we got the Jay leaf and the Seattle Nancy leaf and the Vicky leaf and the Carrie leaf and the Phil Frisk leaf and all these leaves blowing in the wind. And we recognize that at our very base, at our very inner core, we are golden and we are one. We're absolutely one. And if I can remember that, then as I'm looking at the different leaves on the tree, out there blowing in the wind, I can see me in them. I can see my brother. I can see a friend. someone who's just doing the best they can at any given time, and they're absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect, just as they are. Absolutely just as they are. You know, this is to me what reminds me of what the teachings in the Course call the real world. Will I remember God when I look at the love in you? Will I remember God? Do I remember God? Do I remember truth? Do I experience and know truth when I look at you with innocence? I do. I do. I remember it. It's like an old friend you've been maybe out of touch with that you get back in touch with. And this is the perfect peace that awaits me, awaits us. It's the surety, it's the protection of the golden blanket, the perfect insulator of heat. Nothing can get through it. Nothing, no distraction, no judgment. We have that pure, golden, uninterrupted connection between each other because we realize we come from the same trunk, the same tree. It's just one tree. One trunk coming up out of the ground that eventually, through a series of branches or extensions of itself, forms thousands of different leaves. But really, it's all the same. It's all one flowing source bundled together that never was really separate. So as I let those judgments go, as I let those beliefs go that are all false, because as we all know and have taught from all the world's teachings, that when I see separation, the very first thing I do is I start trying to describe the elements and properties of the things that I've separated. Well, this thing over here is 4 foot tall, 3 foot wide. This person over here has this function. Well, that person over there has that function. And I start thinking of them as a body. This person has this racial heritage. That person is that racial heritage. This person is this old. That other person is that old. This person has this personality. That person is that personality. Now, you may look at a tree in the fall, and you can see that there are, in fact, different colors of the leaves that appear to show up. One little leaf could be slightly more yellow than another leaf. That could be maybe more red. And to me, that tree looks amazingly beautiful because it has such a rich variety of colors of leaves. And yet, each one of them falls to the ground and all becomes dirt again anyway. So, at different times, we may appear in slightly different colors or hues or appearances. Our personalities vary. Our skills and talents vary. And we can delight in that and see each one of us as an amazing contribution to the puzzle of humanity, which is all our little pieces connected together on the tree. Every single leaf on the tree is just as important and awesome as every other part. And without any one of us, the whole is diminished. We have to have every single little part of it. Every one of them. Nothing can be lost. There can't be any lost sheep. We're all one. We all are connected. And so what happens when I see that? What happens when my sight becomes clear? And I see that in you, and in you, and you, and you, there is a similarity. Then I can be okay with whatever differences there are between you and me. Religiously, spiritually, whatever spiritual insights or visions you've had that maybe I haven't had, or what I have that you, it's all okay. We can take delight and joy in each other's experiences and insights, and in fact, the whole tree can be benefited from it. It's when I see you as separate that I'm then going to instead start comparing you to me. And once a comparison occurs through a site of separation, what's the very next thing that occurs? You start ranking it on a scale of less than or greater than once you do that. And then better than or less than. And that's when the war starts. So we can have the exact same experience of sharing all of our different thoughts and insights and differences, and yet it can bring us all closer together because we can delight and see and enjoy in those connections that we have and the insights and things we can all contribute. Because, you know, if one of you has an insight or an awareness, I can literally receive it as mine because I see us as connected and as one. And I can get the same benefit you just did by you sharing or witnessing that to me. Or I can compare myself to you when you do that. That's the other choice, which leads to war and further separation. So I can either choose to unite with you or I can choose to be at war. So when I stay golden, when I stay connected, there is no measuring stick. There is no I am one with you. It's a corrected perception. I'm choosing to connect. And it may even bring up something in me that's unpleasant. It may trigger in me a reaction, something in my own past that I haven't forgiven, or an old judgment that I'm holding on to. It's still rusty iron. It hasn't been turned into gold yet, right? Alchemy, turning base metal into gold, right? The spiritual alchemy of allowing that to be purified so that it is a complete and perfect conductor of the loving energy of God. And so that there is no loss of any love through any judgment in the connection from me to you. So in that extension, in that love, that's when the sight of what the Course in Miracles teaches us of the real world begins to dawn on us. That sense of reassurance, that sense of calm, that sense of utter okayness that is present in me, through me. That willingness to extend without fear of being judged. Because you know you can't really be separated from your brother. That guidance of what I say and how I say it as being guided by the Holy Spirit, by the voice of wisdom, so that it is what exactly needs to be for the situation. And the highest good and the greatest benefit can occur to everyone involved in the situation. Now, am I perfect at this? Of course not. I'm still learning too. But it's my ideal. It's what I strive for. And does it matter really what any person believes or not believes? Not really. What matters most is the love that I extend and the love that I receive and the sight of connection that I have with my brother. That is what's most important. That is what's most important. And that is where I find my home. That is where I find, quote-unquote, my enlightenment. That's where I find heaven. Is with all, with everybody. So, everything that I do that's pure is without judgment. I can delight in another, but I don't have to compare that other to me. I can just simply stop there and just simply acknowledge and appreciate that person for who they are and whatever they're sharing. And that's it. No comparisons. Just appreciation and acknowledgement of that person as another leaf on the tree that all travels down to the same trunk at the base where I'm also coming from too. And I can receive them as a welcome host into my home because they're already there anyway. They're already there anyway. You know, so it's kind of reassuring to me that vision, that place has always existed, that place of knowing, that place of peace. That we can't really sell the soul. We can only sell our awareness of it. You know, when I judge a brother, when I compare myself to a brother, I have sold my awareness of the soul. Of true life, of eternity, of the real world. And all I need to do to get back aware of it again is to let it go, to dieth daily, to just let go and surrender that little bit of judgment that I had. And then I get right back to that gold, the golden connection, the alchemy. I gain in spirit and let go of the world. And so we can all practice this in however we find ourselves and what we do value. A lot of the people here in the room, a lot of the people listening, do value spirituality, do value a spiritual path. But make no mistake, the ego will try to come in to perform comparisons there as well. So it doesn't really matter if you're into spirituality or not into spirituality, because the ego will work in either just the same. So really all that matters is the actual practice of it, right? The actual practice of the extension of that love and the purification, letting it happen. That golden, be golden, that line of uninterrupted signal between point A and point B. So let's just take a minute and be in that golden space of connection within self and within other, and just think of anyone you can think of that you really love and you really connect with, and try to dwell there, and then try to keep that space in your mind, and you can keep that space with everybody you interact with after that. So let's, yes, Silence is Golden, the AMC movie theater. Wonderful little phrase that it throws up to keep everybody shut up so they don't ruin the movie for everybody. So I'd like to open up the room now. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the end of the teaching. The gathering portion of the service today. So let's open it up, and I'd like to hear from the people that have shared and some of the thoughts and some of the insights and what's come up for you, you know, during this hour. Let's take this half hour and really hear from everybody. So I'm going to turn over the mic, and we'll see who wants to share in the room.
Hey Jay, I'm just going to go ahead and play the short contemplation music. And so Barb can post the link for donations. Okay, thank you.
And yes, let us all move into an open contemplation as we reflect upon this. And yes, our admin will post a link if you so feel guided to extend donations to Awakening Together. We do appreciate it. And so turning the mic over to you, Lynn, for our contemplation music.
Satchidananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Shri Bhagavati Shri Bhagavati Nama Shri Bhagavati Sameta Shri Bhagavati Nama Shri Bhagavati Sameta Shri Bhagavati Nama Shri Bhagavati Nama Shri Bhagavati Nama Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Yes. After that amazing devotional song, how can one even speak, really? Deva Pramal has such a beautiful devotional quality to her. Her singing, it really brings you inside. So now let's move into the part of the service where we interact and we join and we share. And, you know, maybe if you haven't been used to taking the mic, now's such a great time to do so, to maybe get over your fear of taking the mic and speaking to everyone here and knowing that everyone here is respectful and loving to you and not going to judge you. In fact, you can have an experience of speaking to your brothers and opening your heart. And so I'm going to give the mic up and see who really wants to share. And if you feel guided to, just, you know, raise your hand and take the mic. So I'm gonna give up the mic now, and we'll see who takes it.
You are a very brave man, Jay McCormick. I was just waiting for somebody else. What a beautiful message this morning. And just this knowing that it is in all of us. It is each and every single one of us is the same Holy Spirit being. And so there's no reason to be anything less than trusting. There's no reason to be anything less than holy and loving, because that is what we are. That is what I am. So to be this holy, loving being that I truly am, what has to happen? Why is that not my full-time experience? And what has to happen is I have to give up all those beliefs, the vision, the sight of things being something other than perfect, innocent, and holy. I have to give that idea up. And in order to be able to give that idea up, I have to really look at it, why it is that I believe it and where it is that it sticks to me. So, you know, if it's sticking to me in this belief that I am this I that is so vulnerable and has a good reason to be afraid, then that's what I'll do, is I will hide and be afraid. But that I thought that is so prevalent is really the thought that I am separate from God and that I have no connection to my source, and therefore I have a very good reason to be afraid. So it's that thought of separation that makes the I thought. And without that thought of separation, if I didn't feel separated from God, I would not have an I thought. I would know that I am one with my brother and with God. And so, all of these practices that we do, and, you know, what a beautiful teaching. Thank you so much, Jay. All of these practices that we do really bring us to the point of recognition and remembrance of our own true self and how wonderful that is. So I will let go of the mic, and maybe someone else would like to share.
You know, something just came to me that I can ask and throw out to the room too, if we can have a more maybe directed conversation, is what have been some experiences you've had where you have felt golden? Maybe there's an experience you've had where you felt exceptionally connected to someone or to the inner self or to the world, and you have that golden feeling, that feeling of great connectedness and connection with life and God and however you think of it. Maybe some of you can share those experiences that could probably help be an inspiration and a light for everyone who hears them. So I invite the room to share any experience they had that they really feel have felt golden, that connection, that line of uninterrupted connection between themselves and another. So that's certainly something any one of you could share. So please, giving up the mic.
Actually, Jay, what that really brought to me, that whole, when you were talking about that golden moments, it brought to me of when I was a small child, and I would, there was a woods behind our house, and they're quite similar, Peg, to the place where we were just at that retreat center. And I would go out into those woods and stand, just be there in the, when the sun filtering through the trees, and there was this big rock that was kind of flat, and I would go and sit on that rock or lay on that rock in the sun, and I remember feeling holy. And Barb reminded me of that song, and I queued it up. I'm going to play it. That is a moment when I felt connected to God and to everything, and I felt holy. And from that holy moment, I can call that vision back to me right now and dwell in that place that I was, that very place, which is really this very place I am right now. It just, I'm not seeing it because of all these other thoughts that I have going on. But when I go to that, you know, I recognize for one thing that, you know, the ego will tell you, well, that's not real, or that is, you're making that up, or whatever. But I know that it's true. I know my connection to God. I know I hear God's voice. I knew it at that moment, and I know it right now. So, yes, remembering our holiness is essential to our peace and our joy. But, you know, if I don't hearken back to those golden moments and look at when I felt the hand of God on my shoulder, or the hand of God on my chest, you know, holding my heart, I would not know what that was. So yeah, Christina, I'm going to give you the mic. Thank you, honey.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Jay, for sharing. Beautiful. And, you know, good morning. God morning to you, Mr. Jay. And as I reflect on my life, I remember when I was about, I would say around 5 years old, something like that. And we were living near the Baltic Sea in Poland. And as the sun was going down, you know, sun setting, right, like it was big forest there and everything, I would just be so delighted in that moment. I just run and try to catch the sun. And I go, oh, don't fall. I want to catch you. And it was this big, beautiful light. And, you know, this morning, just this morning, I was praying, meditating, and I was watching the sunrise this morning. And my friend's mom passed yesterday. And I lit a candle for her and everything, and it was pink, with a pink like crystal vase, floating candle on water, and I was praying, you know, praying for her, beautiful lady. And so this morning, as I was watching the sunrise, these beautiful beams of rose light mixed with the white light just beamed through the sky in the morning sun. It was just gorgeous. And I just feel such peace within, you know, such peace, such love, and such... I am just so grateful for God in my life and this course and all you guys here. You know, and I just love you all so much. And God is so good and so powerful, and we turn, you know, in prayer to Him and ask Him to be here, right here, this holy instant. He is with us, with me, and He shows me His love in nature and in the beings of light, and even in moments of you know, different situations, that I may see the light, that I may bless each and every being, you know, each and every being with his beautiful love and light, because that's what they truly are, and that's what I want to see and feel, the love of God within me, you know, just feel it. And no matter what shows up, what it shows up like, it doesn't matter. But I just bless, because I know that's the truth. That is the truth. You know, I behold the Christ in you, and the light and love in you, Jay, and Lynn, everybody, because that's who we are. We are God's love and light. I am the light of the world. Have a blessed day, and thank you.
I would just like to, good morning everybody, this is Peg, and I'd like to share a really golden moment that I had at the retreat. There are just deer everywhere. Little, very young deer with big ears that seem to be bigger than their heads and that turn in alertness at the slightest sound. But one day, when everybody was kind of gone climbing mountains, and I was standing out in this field, it's really not a field, it's the grass in front of the building, but it's like an openness, so compared to all the mountains and so forth, it seems like a field. But there are beautiful, beautiful trees that were just golden, full of leaves, and absolutely golden. And I was standing out there watching and observing in just silence with the deers. And all of a sudden, this wind swept down and started swirling. And there was this giant yellow tree full of leaves. And all of the leaves just emptied off the tree and swirled around me, come twirling down around me, and it was like being in a shower of golden leaves falling all around me, and I just lifted my arms up to the heavens, and I just shouted out without even thinking, wow, I didn't know I had that kind of power, and it was just, I felt it so strongly, and it was just such a beautiful, beautiful experience, and then I quickly, of course, looked around and realized that I had just shouted at a Franciscan retreat center where everybody's supposed to be quiet. And, of course, the only one I actually saw anywhere present was Doreen. And she was at a picnic table and at a distance. And I know she heard me. I must have been loud enough for her to hear me, even though she was pretty far away, because she looked up. And I was like, oh, my. But the feeling was so intense that it just went through and through me. It was even like the wind went through me. And it was just those kind of beautiful moments that were just absolutely amazing at the retreat. Thank you very much.
No, that was beautiful. Thank you, Peg, for that. That was an amazing, amazing vision and experience, and especially with the tree, like what I felt guided to talk about today. So connected to that and golden, and really moved through me as I was hearing you share that, and being with you as you shared your experience. And I just I want to read something here on the board. Staff wrote, "Thank you, Jay. The message of trust came at a perfect timing. I'm at a place where I am leaving a 13-year marriage with two kids and not knowing how I will do it because I do not have a stable full-time job and where fear of making a mistake has come up. The message came to me, came to help remember that I am surrounded by love and I just need to trust." Yes. And I'm sure that you're going through a challenging time right now, Steph, it sounds like. And I just, myself, have thrown my life into a state of trust, not necessarily knowing, the security of your own business, as of course the world will tell you, not as a safe and secure thing. And yet, I'm really putting my trust and faith in God, that I will be provided for. And this is a step for me, and maybe for you too, Steph, in your own way, in your own life, to move into that space of really being supported by God and putting your trust and faith in that process. And Dove shared his very inspirational and amazing process with his challenges with cancer and the lessons that he gained about realizing that he is perfectly cared for. And thank you, Dove, for all of the sharing you did for such a long time on that. That was definitely inspiring and very powerful, and joined with you for sure on that. Yeah, and I think Peg, that obviously there was a connection there as to why Spirit was guiding me to the tree, and I feel very connected to the story you shared, and I agree. I think there was a definite connection of Spirit there with your what I shared and your experience, and I think that can be shared with all. That tree, that golden tree that swirls around us, and we are connected in that one tree, the leaves, the people, we're all connected by that one trunk, and there's no interruption between me and you, and it is completely golden, completely without any trace of interruption. And that's the thing about gold too, is it's completely immortal. You can find gold that was literally buried in the ocean 400,000 years ago, and it would, if you dust off all the rock and sediment, the gold is exactly the same as it was 400,000 years ago. It is completely unaffected by time. So it has so many similarities to, as a symbol for Spirit, that I think it's used by Spirit as a symbol to communicate in our dream state here and remind us of our godliness and of our holiness and of the truth of our being. The truth of our being. Does anyone else have anything they would share? Anyone? Vicki or Nancy or anyone here? Phil or Barb, do you care to share? Or anyone here who desires to share? Please raise your hand. I'd love to hear from you and your stories or your thoughts or even doubts or concerns or anything that's going on. Please, I would love to hear. I'd love to share. We got just a few minutes left, so I don't want to take the mic up. I'm going to give up the mic and allow a space for someone who feels that they want to share to raise their hand. And so it seems like we were sharing a golden moment there, weren't we? You know, it's funny how sometimes you can just sit in silence with people and feel perfectly connected. I feel like that's what we were just doing as we were sitting there, just with no one on the mic, just in that golden state of connected with each other, just being perfectly okay with silence. And that's okay. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing we need to do to fill up a void. You know, it's funny how we value so highly gold in the world. you know, an ounce of gold is $1,200 or something like that. You know, even in this dream state, there's a recognition of what purity is and a valued of what purity is. And when we keep that in our hearts, and when I keep that sense of innocence, that sense of hope, that sense of utter acceptance in my heart, I am completely protected. I'm completely wrapped in that blanket of golden light. It's a gold blanket that I'm wrapped. Nothing can get through it. Nothing negative can interfere inside this wrapper of golden blanket. And everyone actually comes inside that blanket with me until everyone is there, and then the blanket is who we are. The gold is everywhere, and it's just nothing but complete uninterrupted connection. And so it's been a really amazing time sharing this hour with all of you at this gathering. I am very grateful for every one of you here. I feel very connected to everyone here, and a lot of love and a lot of amazing experiences were shared here today that I hope we can all receive and take with us and to keep, because it is important to remember these experiences and remember these times when we don't feel connected, when we don't feel golden, when we feel rusty. So let's take this gold with us and share this gold and Sonia, it's good to see everyone here, and I love you all very much. Okay, signing off. Turning it over to you, Lynn.
am open to see flowers blooming. I am here to live this life.